That's our Fusion kids just doing amazing things. Didn't you love just some of the modern touches, like cars in the background, the story? You didn't know that was in the nativity, but it's great, and I thought it was amazing. And, you know, in this COVID era, we've had to adapt a little bit, but I think let's put our hands together once again for our amazing Fusion kids. And I think some of them have a career in the dramatic arts, others don't. But we won't say which ones, but isn't it wonderful? Anyway, but I just want to speak just for a few moments with you here today, and we're going to be singing some carols after that as well. But there was a point in the story where we see that one of the scenes was some magi or some wise men from the east came following the star that was leading them to the birthplace of Jesus. And while they were doing that, it says they stopped in Jerusalem as they searched for this Savior that they had been told about. And after meeting the king, King Herod, we saw him in the story. He heard about it. He said, I want to hear all about this supposed king. And he was actually threatened by him. And once they shared about him, they set on their way and they followed the star again. And it says this of that account in Matthew chapter 2. And it says, and so they left, and on their way to Bethlehem, suddenly the same star they'd seen in the east reappeared. Amazed, they watched as it went ahead of them and stopped directly over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they were overcome. Falling to the ground at his feet, they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure boxes full of gifts and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I hope you realize that no one actually knows how many wise men there actually were. The Bible doesn't actually tell us, but it does tell us that there were three very distinct and significant gifts that were brought to Jesus. It wasn't wet wipes. It wasn't nappies. It wasn't a pacifier. It wasn't toys. It wasn't a blankie. No, it was something far, far more significant. It was gold, a gift fit for a king. It was myrrh, something that pointed to Jesus being the sacrificial lamb and the suffering servant. And then the third thing was something called frankincense that the wise men brought. And I want to zone in just very briefly on that last gift here tonight, this morning. And I don't know if you know what frankincense is. I went and did a little bit of exploring today, and I have here a little thing of frankincense oil. Let me tell you, this is very expensive. I didn't realize how expensive frankincense oil was until I purchased some. But this little bottle here is frankincense oil, and according to some of the essential oil enthusiasts, and you may be one of them out there, this is what frankincense can actually do. It's actually known for its ability for its antiseptic, astringent, carminative, diuretic, digestive, sedative, uterine, and vulnerary therapeutic properties. Now, I've got no idea what all of that means, but it sounds very impressive. You might be thinking, what do pastors do all week? We do things like research information like that to help you and educate you about what frankincense actually does. But simply put, frankincense is a very expensive, practical gift that was known to help heal sicknesses and treat wounds. More so, frankincense was something that was the oil that the high priest would actually use when they actually burnt the sacrifice. And then the smoke of that incense would actually go up to heaven, and it symbolized the prayers of the people. And most biblical scholars will acknowledge that frankincense, this gift of frankincense, actually points to Jesus as our high priest, the high priest that Jesus is. Now, when I say that word, some of you may be kind of thinking, well, what on earth is a high priest? Because we don't really have any modern day context for that kind of thing. When I say high priest, some of you think Hollywood, you think voodoo types kind of stuff. But when you look in the Bible, the high priest is nothing like that. The high priest was someone so, so different. And in fact, the high priest's role was to represent the people before God. And the high priest did that in two ways. The first way is that they made sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins But then secondly, they also made prayers on behalf of the people to God. And so when we go right back to the beginning and the very beginning of creation, and we see the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve sinned against God, right at that moment, there were two opposing forces that were at work. And the first one was the holiness of God. And the second one was the sinfulness of humankind. Now, I don't know about you, but in our culture today, we don't like to talk about sin. You don't kind of walk around and sit over a cup of coffee and talk about sin. You know, typically we'll talk about mistakes. We'll talk about, hey, you do you and I'll do me, and my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. But we don't really like to talk about sin. But here's the challenge. God is holy. God is holy. And if we don't understand truly what the holiness of God is all about, we'll always have a casual approach to what sin is. Until we understand what it truly means that God is holy, we'll never realize fully the cost and the tragedy of what sin does to Him and its impact on us. Yes. And we'll never truly understand the whole reason behind Jesus coming and the significance of this gift of frankincense. God is holy. What does that mean? Well, the word simply means set apart or separate. Set apart or separate. And so our God is perfect in every way. I hope you realize that. He's not kind of some kind of flawed being. He is flawless. He is pure. In Him there is no fault. There's no wrong. There's no stain. He is transcendently set apart. He's perfect. And we need to understand that holiness isn't just one of His attributes. Holiness is the perfection of all of His attributes. His power is holy. His grace is holy. His mercy is holy. His glory is holy. It's His holiness, His otherness, His separateness, His purity that makes Him worthy of our praise. We don't praise Him just out of religiosity. We praise Him for all of those reasons. Nothing and no one on earth or in the heavens above can compare with our God. Our God is holy, but our challenge is that we're not. None of us are. You know, the Bible says that every single one of us, I'm included in that too, we've all sinned. We all fall short of God's holy standard. And that breaks our intimacy with Him, an intimacy that He so desires and that He created us for. He created you for that intimacy too. And that's why God hates sin, because it's everything that He's not. It's the opposite of His holiness. And he says it disrupts our intimacy with Him and separates us from Him. And that's why He hates it. And now in the Old Testament, the high priest, what he would actually do is that he would actually make a sacrifice once a year as a temporary payment for the sins of the people. It was known as the Day of Atonement. You might have heard that phrase used before. And that was the day when the high priest would make those sacrifices. And he would sacrifice a lamb or an animal of some sort, and they would go into the tabernacle, the temple, behind the curtain to a place called the Holy of Holies. And there the priest would light the frankincense. And the incense, as I said earlier, would then burn, and the smoke would just arise to heaven, and it represent the cries of the people as they cried out to God for mercy for their sins. And then the priests would take the blood of the innocent sacrificed animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and that would symbolize the death of an innocent one in place of the guilty one. Payment for our sins. And then the priest would take a goat, an innocent goat, and they would actually come and they would take that goat and they would actually lay hands on the head of that goat and they would confess the sins of the people and thereby symbolically transferring those sins into that goat. And then they would cast that goat off into the wilderness, signifying the removal of sins. That's where we get the phrase scapegoat from. But you know, here's the thing about God. God is just. Completely just. He cannot leave sin unpunished. That's why they did what they did in the Old Testament. But He's not only just, He is merciful. And that's why He doesn't just judge sins, He is merciful and provides a way. And in the Old Testament, it shows us that with the high priest that he provided a way by someone else, an animal sacrifice paying for our sins. But as I said, it was only a temporary thing. But when Jesus came, when the gift of Jesus came, this is what the wise men, the magi, were coming to worship. This is when this gift of frankincense became so significant. When Jesus came, he ushered in a new way. He brought in a new way, a better sacrifice that the story points to. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says this about Jesus becoming our high priest. He says, by God's will, we've been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. So that scripture tells me, how am I made holy? How are you made holy? It's by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once and for all. No longer animals having to be sacrificed. No longer day in and day out, like the high priest had to do in the Old Testament. Every day they had to go and make sacrifices. Every day they had to go and make these offerings that could never take away our sin permanently. But it says that Jesus, our high priest, he offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for your sins, for my sins, and he says he removed them once and for all. So when they brought this gift of frankincense, it was pointing to what Jesus would do. It was pointing to Jesus's role as a high priest, and that there would no longer be need for sacrifices anymore, because Jesus, the high priest, had done it all. What does that mean? That means that he understands and he cares for you. That means that he can relate to you and he knows what you've been through. He knows your victories, your pains, your weaknesses, your strengths. He knows what you're going through right now. The Bible says he walked this earth and faced every challenge known to mankind. And yet when he went to the cross for you and I, it says he was without sin. He paid the price and went to the cross as a blameless lamb, just like we saw in the Old Testament. What a God. What a high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly into the throne of our gracious God, because there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You can come to him this Christmas. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares. You can come to him because he understands. You can come to him because he has enabled a way for us to boldly approach his throne of grace. And the Bible says, then we will receive mercy. Why? Because his justice has been satisfied and he chooses to extend his mercy towards us. And what do we find when we come to Jesus as our high priest? It says we find grace to help us when we need it most. I don't know about you, but this year has been pretty full on. We've had to face a lot of things and a lot of things have been shaken in our world. But this scripture, this Christmas, we need to remember that we find grace when we come to Jesus. I hope you understand. I hope this Christmas you come to him today. You come as you are. You come boldly. You don't come cowering. You don't come ashamed. You don't come afraid, but you come confident in what Jesus has done for us. He's the ultimate gift. Who's given us the ultimate gift. He is our high priest. And this Christmas, let's celebrate. Let's acknowledge him. You know, these wise men, these magi, they were foreshadowing what Jesus had come to do with these gifts that they brought. And when they brought this gift of frankincense, they knew that Jesus wasn't just a helpless baby in a crib, but he was our high priest, the ultimate gift.